Juneteenth is the annual celebration of the emancipation of those who had been enslaved in the United States. It's a mix of June and 19th. It commemorates the anniversary of June 19, 1865, and the announcement of General Order No. 3 by Union Army General Gordon Granger, claiming the freedom of slavery in Texas. Hi, I'm Country Boy, and this is One Mic History. And if this is the type of content that you enjoy, you can find more content like this at onemichistory.com. Also, if you'd like to support the channel, you can do so by buying me coffee on my Patreon page in the description below. Additionally, give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and support the YouTube channel. But without further ado,
the future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Let's get started. Slavery was the major cause of the Civil War. Yet, when the Civil War started in 1861, neither side entered the conflict with any intention of changing slavery. White Southerners wanted to wage war to make the Confederacy an independent nation that was free to promote slavery as they saw fit, and white Northerners wanted to maintain the Union and had no intention of freeing a single slave. Throughout the early part of the war, Abraham Lincoln was unwavering in his focus to preserve the Union. Any policy that helped or hindered black people was secondary to that goal. So when Lincoln called for 75,000 men to enlist in the military for 90 days with the national government, the support was overwhelming from both black and white, but only black men were rejected for military service. See, African Americans recognized long before white Americans that the fate of the Union was tied to black folks and the issue of slavery, and the future of slavery was tied to the outcome of the war. Black newspaper, The Anglo-African, stated that we are concerned in this fight that our fate hangs upon these issues. So black Americans started to prepare, and black men in New York formed their own military companies and began to drill, and black people in Boston even drew up a resolution modeled after the Declaration of Independence. Additionally, slaves also started to liberate themselves almost as soon as the war started, but Union leaders had no actual policy on how to deal with them. Union leaders showed more concern for the interests of slave owners than the actual people in slavery. Ulysses S. Grant even returned runaway slaves to their owners if they supported the Union. In August 6, 1861, Congress clarified the state of the runaway slaves with the First Confiscation Act. Federal forces could seize any property that belonged to the Confederacy used in the war effort, any slave their master used to benefit the Confederacy, and only those slaves would be freed. Union General John C. Fremont would exceed those limits by freeing all of the slaves that belonged to the Confederates in Missouri. Lincoln told Fremont that only slaves that had been used in the Confederate war effort were to be freed because Lincoln was worried that Fremont would drive Missouri and Kentucky into the Confederacy. Black leaders and abolitionists were displeased with Lincoln because they felt it was foolish to fight a war against the South without fighting against slavery because the South was so dependent on it. But more than a year into the Civil War, Lincoln remained reluctant to strike decisively against slavery. Lincoln believed that the long-term solution to slavery was compensated emancipation of slaves, followed by their colonization outside of the country. Slave owners would be paid for the loss of their slaves, and slaves would be freed but forced to settle in another country in either the Caribbean, Latin America, or Western Africa. However, in the summer of 1862, border states rejected compensated emancipation, and Lincoln finally concluded that victory and the future of the Union was tied directly to slavery. Lincoln decided slavery would be instrumental in the outcome of the war, and he decided to hasten the end of the war and restore the Union. Finally, September 22, 1862, more than 2 months after Lincoln first started to consider the freedom of enslaved people, he issued the Preliminary Emancipation Proclamation. It stipulates that anyone in bondage in states or parts of states in the rebellion after January 1, 1863 would henceforth and forever be free, but if any Confederate state rejoined the Union before 1863, their slaves would remain in bondage. January 1, 1863, Lincoln issued his Emancipation Proclamation. It was the first significant effort by Union authorities to assure the freedom of nearly 4 million enslaved people of African descent. Despite excitement from black communities, the language of the Emancipation Proclamation was decidedly uninspiring. The language limited the Emancipation Proclamation to states in areas in the rebellion and did not include enslaved people in the four border states or areas still in the Union or areas that the Confederate states were Union already occupied those places. Thus, thousands of enslaved people were remained in bondage despite the Emancipation Proclamation. While the Emancipation Proclamation did not mark the end of slavery, it authorized the enlistment of black troops into the army. And just as leaders from the North have come to realize that preservation of the Union made it necessary to abolish slavery, they also understood that black men were needed for the military service if the Union was to win the war. Now, this brings us to Juneteenth. As Northern troops advanced on the Confederate South, many enslaved people fled behind Union lines. But Texas, slavery continued because the state had experienced no large-scale fighting or significant Union presence. Many enslavers outside of states actually moved there because they viewed it as a safe haven for slavery. But as the war came to a close in the spring of 1865, General Gordon Granger arrived in Galveston, Texas in June of 1865 and dispatched his now famous Order Number 3, which signaled freedom for Texas's nearly 250,000 enslaved people. The people in Texas are informed that in accordance to the proclamation from the executive of the United States that all slaves are now free. This involves absolute equality of persons' rights and the rights to property between former slaves and masters. The connection henceforth is that between employer and hired labor. The freedmen are advised to remain quiet in their homes and work for wages, and they are informed that they will not be allowed to collect a military post and that they will not be supported in idleness there or elsewhere. But General Order Number 3 was not exactly instant magic for Texas's 250,000 enslaved people. On plantations, masters had to decide how to announce the news or wait for the government agent to arrive. It was not uncommon for them to delay releasing their slaves after the harvest. Even in Galveston, the ex-Confederate mayor forced enslaved people back to work, and those who did act on the news did so at their own risk. You would see a lot of Negroes hanging from trees right after freedom. And in one extreme case, former slave named Katie Darling continued to work for her mistress for almost 6 years. All of this hardly seems like a recipe for a celebration, and this is what makes the story of Juneteenth all that more remarkable. The confusion, the delay, the terror, the violence, and still, newly freed black men and women of Texas with the aid of the Freedmen's Bureau now had a date that they could rally around. In one of the most inspiring grassroots efforts of the post-Civil War period, they transformed June 19th from a day of simple military orders into an annual right. Jubilee Day, or Juneteenth, will begin just 1 year later in 1866. Emancipation celebrations were common around the country during the late 19th, early 20th century, but they all marked the date at which that state was freed, not June 19th. In Washington, D.C., celebrations of Emancipation Day were held on April 16th, the date that Lincoln signed the Compensated Emancipation Act. Some counties in Tennessee even observed Emancipation Day on August 8th because this state was not subjected to the Emancipation Proclamation because Tennessee was under Union control by June 6th of 1862, 4 months before Lincoln wrote the preliminary draft of the Emancipation Proclamation. After Reconstruction, many black leaders debated the importance of remembering milestone anniversaries given how African Americans had been treated in this country. But free people of Texas went on about their business of celebrating their local version of Emancipation Day annually. For them, Juneteenth is one of the earliest incarnations and a celebration for remembering lost family members, measuring progress against freedom, and ingraining rising generations of the values of self-improvement and racial upliftment. This is accomplished through the reading of the Emancipation Proclamation, religious sermons and spirituals, preservation of slave food and delicacies, as well as the incorporation of new games and traditions from baseball to rodeos and later stock car races and overhead flights. This only strengthened Texas in the years after Juneteenth following Reconstruction. White Texans rallied around their version of history in an effort to glorify and whitewash their cruelties and defeats. When white Texans forbade blacks from using public spaces, black people would gather near rivers or lakes and eventually raise enough money to buy their own celebration sites. Among them was Emancipation Park in Houston or Booker T. Washington Park in Methaya. What also helped strengthen the holiday's chances for survival was it moving across state lines during the Great Migration, which was the mass migration of African Americans from the South. People took Juneteenth from Texas to cities like Los Angeles, Chicago, and Detroit. And as it spread, the observation also changed. This was especially true during the 20s because it was a new age of consumerism infiltrating the Black community with advertisements for fancy Juneteenth outfits and more elaborate displays. However, despite the Great Migration and the people of Texas' best efforts, African Americans became increasingly disconnected from their own history. So by the time of World War II, African Americans were no longer faithfully celebrating their freedom from enslavement in a land that had rendered them second-class citizens worthy of dying for their country, but not worthy of sharing the same water fountains. And it was possible. This is where the story of Juneteenth would end. At least outside of Texas, had it not been for some remarkable events at the end of the Civil Rights Movement in 1968. Following the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., his Southern Christian Leadership Conference drew on the symbolism of Juneteenth to produce the Second March on Washington, branded Solidarity Day, and became the centerpiece of the Poor People's Campaign. Martin Luther King Jr. had always planned to return to the site of his famous I Have a Dream speech, and this led to the idea of the Poor People's March, which emphasizes America's class equalities. Following his assassination in May 12, 1968, it was left to Rob Abernathy and his widow Coretta Scott King, and they moved forward with the Poor People's Campaign and included the establishment of the Resurrection City and a collection of temporary shelters built along the side of the reflecting pool in front of the Lincoln Memorial, where some 2,500 poor men, women, and children lived for almost 6 weeks. So on June 19th, 1968, more than 50,000 people gathered to commemorate Juneteenth and held a Solidarity Day rally and a march on Washington. By linking Solidarity Day to Juneteenth, the Poor People's Campaign connected the emancipation of enslaved people to the freedom from economic oppression for people of all colors. The people at the rally took the idea of Juneteenth celebration back to their respective communities. With this new boost of energy, in 1979, Texas became the first state to make Juneteenth an official holiday. And since then, 41 other states and the District of Columbia has recognized Juneteenth as a state holiday or a holiday observance. These days, Juneteenth celebrations still feature some mix of religious services and storytelling with music, foods, parades, festivals, and other jubilant celebrations of Black culture. Barbecues have always been a focal point of the holiday, with Texas newspaper articles dating back to the earliest 1800s reporting that the preparation and sharing of food was the main attraction at many Juneteenth celebrations. Today, following national protests against systemic racism and police violence, Juneteenth has gained a larger attention outside of the African-American communities and pressure built on a federal level to recognize Juneteenth as a federal holiday. So in June of 2021, Juneteenth was made the 11th federal holiday in the United States and the newest federal holiday since Martin Luther King Day in 1983. Thank you. This has been One Mic Black History. I'm your host, Country Boy. If you like this, you love this, you can find more like this at onemichistory.com. Also, if you want to support the channel, you can do so on my Buy Me Coffee, my Patreon page in the description below. Please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and support the YouTube channel. Peace.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.